2022, we are out to endeavor to fulfill this purpose. And the purpose is to help you shine. Yes. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor,
I'm learning
how to help you shine. Praise God. We want to, when we see scriptures and we are reading them and we hear people ministering the word of God, or we see something within the gospel that personifies or gives example of shining and things that shine, or how light causes things to shine, we want to recognize, we want to grab that in, and may God give us fresh revelation about it, because we truly want to see people shine. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The way we want to help you shine is with people. Help you shine with people. We want to help you shine in Christ. In Christ Jesus. The where to shine, this is going to be heavily noticed today, is in Christ Jesus. Praise God. The place we want to help you shine is in your purpose. In your purpose. And last, we want to help you shine as a
person.
As a person. But it is only just mere words on a slide, or mere words that we recite, unless they maybe perhaps can be understood or unveiled or bring enlightenment through scripture. So in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 15, you can see the breakdown of those particular four things. Because if we help you shine, we want to help you shine with people. Verses 1 to 4. Today we'll use verses 5 as well. But we want to help you shine with people, as in relationships, closeness, connection, community, unity, and be on one accord and of one mind. When we want to help you shine in Christ Jesus, I mean, all of us should desire that deeply. All of us should want to be piercing, even if we don't know God, or you're teeter-tottering on if you really believe these things. The one place we want to gain everyone into is to help them find connection and to get in Christ Jesus. And so verses 5 to 12, we talk about Jesus, how he emptied himself. So we want to learn how to empty ourselves. We want to see how to surrender to him, to honor as Lord, to give glory to God the Father. When we talk about helping shine, we want to help you shine in purpose. Why God created you. Can you all at least and minimally admit that when you are doing exactly what you are created to do, you are excited? Is anybody else like that? Amen. How many know when you know this is what you do and you do well? Oh, yeah, I got this. Right? Because you were designed for that. Are you with me? Amen. And so therefore, when we talk about purpose, it's what God created you for. What would be most fulfilling and rewarding to you and glorifying God? Because when God has us in our purpose, we bring glory unto him. That's verse 13. Verses 14 to 15. We see that it says in life, as a person, we want to live in love as a person. If we would learn how to shine, we would shine in leading as children of God who shine as lights in this world. I by no means want to dampen this particular mode, but I cannot help for letting you know that if you are observant or watch anything that's going on, not just nationally or locally, but globally, there are things that are dark. Are you with me? But we are not people of the darkness.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Amen?
Amen.
I know I got a lot of Bible teachers in the room, but can you get with me with your amen?
Amen.
My point here is that even though there's darkness in the world, can we not necessarily even lean ourselves towards you?
Well, it's just getting bad and bad.
No, it shouldn't be bad where you are.
Right, that's right.
Hmm.
Well.
Come on. You know what, Pastor Lawrence? We are not those that are children of darkness. We're children of light.
Amen.
And therefore, wherever light goes, it ought to light up the darkness.
Wow.
I mean, understand, light shouldn't be running from darkness. I'm way off script about to preach that thing. Amen. Say, I am light.
I am light.
That's what Jesus said. Amen. Praise God. So what I like us to do, you don't have to pull out the booklets, but I want to kind of break down. What I do, I pray, is bring some sense of synchronization, alignment, and stability, even though we have lots of voices, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But I want to make sure that we're always staying aligned. Are you with me? So this year, we want to help you what?
Shine.
And the way that the ministry leadership team and the pastoral staff have determined that is that it is very much so with all of the new people that we have and those that have been with us now celebrating a year and those that have come to be a part of BCC as a result of maybe the pandemic and God moving on their hearts or whatever it is, we need to come kind of like have a sit down and go over who we are. So therefore, let's visit our vision and values. Say that with me. Let's visit our vision and values. Let me make sure I get you to coordinate this. So by visiting our vision and values, that is going to help us shine. Yep. Right? Because if this is what we were created and called to do, then that's going to cause us to help us shine when we're doing what God called BCC to do. Amen. Glory to God. So I want to share with you, read it out loud. Our vision is what? It's at the top in the box. Ready, set, read. We are the heart of God in our world. One more time. We are the heart of God in our world. And so you would know this. There are 10, as you see, there are 10 values. 4 core values, 6 what we call more values. And if you don't mind, I want you to read a few slides here with us. This one and a couple of ones that has some verses on it. But if you would, let's just read the left column and then we'll switch over to the right column. But these are all of our values in one concise place so you'll know exactly what we're saying and what we mean. And today, I may be making reference to several of those, but today's word, which I'm excited about. I hear you whispering, Pastor, when are you not excited? Amen. I'm very excited today, though, but because God, I wasn't even supposed to really necessarily minister today, but I really believe it was God's divine orchestration because it's just prayerfully going to make sense as we go further. But what today's word is, it brings into context all of our values. All of our what? And our vision. Amen. So, ready, set, read. We are Holy Spirit led, multi-ethnic, free in Christ, hospitable. Keep going. Mercy strategies, everyone one, everyone prays, everyone plays, everyone heals, supernatural in services and streets. Come on. Amen. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
Praise God. This is powerful. I hope that you don't shun or shy back any of those. How many know some of us really want to be, oh, yeah, I'm Holy Spirit led. Everyone plays. Nope. I mean, understand that we want you to shine. And the way to shine is to personify the particular values because God has called us to them. Somebody say amen. This summer, what we're doing is our voices in our values. Say that with me. Our voices in our values. I am attempting to speak very plainly and very clearly today. The point is that our voices is that we've been selecting people within our body that may sit on your same row, that may sit next to you, that may, you know, you might meet them at the welcome team, or you might see them up on the keyboard, or how many know when you come to BCC, you don't know what to expect, amen? How many times I have never been to a service where the lead worshiper plays the drums. Come on, in Jesus' name, amen? I don't know about you, but I want you to know, because our weeks are dwindling down, Brother Carter has been an intern this summer in our music ministry, and he's doing a wonderful job. Come on, let's give God a big praise offering for that. We have a wonderful and very talented and gifted man of God who's been accompanying him, and he started before Carter got back. We want to thank God for Zeke as well. Let's thank God in Jesus' name. I really do believe that Carter was bearing his heart with us before his family of faith. Are you with me?
Amen.
And one of the things he shared on just yesterday, and I really, you know, outside of us always, you know, remembering that we've watched Carter grow up and all of that, he's a young man now. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But he made this statement yesterday while he was practicing and everything. He says, you know, at work this week, I just determined that I don't have to be Brandon Lake, right? As a musical worship leader. He says, I don't have to sing like them. God told me to just be myself.
Amen.
Come on. Is that not free in Christ? My God. One of Pastor Jeremy's favorite messages, learn how to be comfortable in your own skin. Somebody say amen. So what we're doing is we're taking our voices, regular people, people that are leaders or elders or whoever, and we want our voices to be in our what? To be in our what? And I hope you like those pictures, because this little young lady here, she trying to get her statement ready. Are you with me? And I think she's not looking up at a person. I just think she's looking up at heaven. Amen? She's trying to get what she's going to say together. Now, the other little rambunctious young man, he's got something to say. Amen? Because he wants this young man to know, right? Amen? But I want us to know that that's the purpose and intent. But today, I want you to hear this message. Let's take a look at this passage here. I'll read it to you. I want you to see that it says, can we consider what Christ feels about us? Can we consider what Christ feels about us? Psalms 8, verse 4 says this, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit him. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet.
Amen.
Glory to God. I want us to think about that as I attempt to share this particular story. I want to use, this is really quite, really profound in a sense that in these two verses, if you look at certain divisions of Bibles, this is actually two different parables, and the parables consist as one verse. Are you with me? So Jesus is, listen, I told y'all quiet, but y'all got to stop that, amen? So when I pause, you insert praise the Lord or something like that, all right? In these two verses, one verse is a parable by itself.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. Thank you, Aunt. Amen. I'm not necessarily, I want you to hear it, because I want to share something different out of these verses here. But look what it says. The kingdom of heaven, Matthew 13, verse 44 says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. Like a what?
Treasure.
That a man discovered hidden in a field. And in his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for a choice pearls. And when he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold what?
Everything.
He sold everything he owned and bought it. For just a moment here, what I like to do is, can I get us to think about what did it cost Christ to redeem our lives? What did it cost Christ to redeem our lives? The word redeem, you know, means to buy back. Redeem means to what?
Buy back.
So what I want you to do is, for us to gain some thought, I want us to gain some thought around, you know, what measure did God go to in order to redeem our lives or to buy our lives back? And the reason I want you to reflect upon that is because when we take a look at the extent of his purchase, then that would help us gain some handle on the love that he has for us.
Amen.
Oh, my God. I want to make sure you're clear that I by no means am clever enough to understand or to be able to articulate or to be able to pin this. This was out of the very wonderful and great teacher, Derek Prince. And my attempt is to invite you into this thought is that though these are two or three verses of parables, I want to, out of the story, in other words, in essence, kind of do a couple of things. One, I'm going to build a story out of the parables. But then the other thing I want to do is I want this to be very clear that the purpose, the person buying the field is Jesus. I want you to know that in this story, the person buying the field is who? So we just read the scriptures, and so let's go a little further like this. The person, he was one day out in a field, and as this person was moving and working through or walking through a field, he all of a sudden finds himself having his foot catch something, and he catches something, and he notices it was something along the ground, and it was hidden. And when he looked and saw that it was hidden, he looked down at it, and he saw that it was a chest. And he digged down and scraped his fingernails and so, and he looked behind the bush, and he opens it up, and he finds tremendous coins and jewels and stones and all kind of precious stones. It was an absolute complete treasure. And in the midst of him finding this particular treasure, he realized the only way that he could ever have this treasure was that he had to buy the entire field. And as a result of having to buy the whole entire field, he began to go and find and research out of what it was going to take. And when he came up to the buyer just wanted an extraordinary amount. It was just... The seller was just in a very irrational amount. It was just so high and so costly. But he wanted the treasure, and as a result, he says, we're going to buy that treasure. And Derek Prince says, I can imagine this man going home. He says to his wife that, you know what, I found a land that we're going to buy. And he tells her, and she says, what? Why are we going to buy that land? You know, that land doesn't produce. You know, nobody in the community likes that land. It doesn't produce anything. It doesn't profit anything. There's thistles and all kinds of brushweed and everything. There's no ground. It will not grow. It is not fertile. It does not produce. It is worth nothing. Why are we going to do it? And not alone, how are we going to ever buy it? What are we going to do? It's going to be too costly. He says, we're going to sell everything we have. We're going to sell our home. We're going to sell our clothes that we have left. We're going to sell and turn in all of our profits, and we're going to do everything. We're going to give up everything. He says, you'll see, you'll see. And as he gets it together, lots of negotiations, and once he gets all the deeds and paperwork accomplished and finished, then he takes his wife out. And he goes back to the place that he hid that treasure. And he opens it up. And he shows her all of the treasures because he now owns the whole entire land. Are you with me? Amen. And she says, ah, now I understand. I want you to understand that we are that treasure. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't think you heard what I just said. Amen. We are that treasure. We are that treasure. I could do a benediction right now. You just got something that I know you have need of. Because many of us don't see ourselves as having that type of worth or having that type of value. But this is the measure that God paid to show his incredible love for us. Because we are so loved by God that he gave up the cost of everything, his own son, in order to purchase us, who didn't look like we had any value, who were just of no good. We didn't measure up to anything. But still, What does God see in us that he would go to such extent? It's because of his such great love that he gives the whole cause. Stop saying to yourself in mirrors, you're no good. Stop saying that you're a sinner. Stop saying I'm not worth it. Stop saying I'm dumb. Stop saying I shouldn't do this and I can't do this. And no. Jesus has purchased everything, gave up his life to make sure we could have what he says about us. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, that's why the last time we shared, we've got to learn how to target people in the field. Somebody say amen. You see, we cannot judge things on the outward appearance. The Bible says man judges on the outward appearance, but it's God who looks at the So when we shun at people, I can guarantee you, you're in your outer eyes and not your inner eyes.
Right.
I'm preaching better than, oh, what? Wait. What? What? I said, what? What? I said, I'm preaching better than you shout. Amen? My God. We are that treasure. We are that what? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are that treasure. Come on, turn to your other neighbor and say, hey, you're that treasure. Come on, yeah, guess. Touch them. Come on, sister, daughter. You still a daughter. Come on, treasure, amen. So here's a thought. I've got to speed along. It says, people who know scripture and songs, this is good. In other words, there are people who know scripture and songs but need an encounter and a living experience with love and God's love. In other words, the point is, how many know there are people that can quote you scriptures and story and Bible stories? Are you with me? They could even, yes, Jesus loves me. But how many understand that they don't necessarily understand God's love because it's just a song? Or it's just a memory verse. Are you with me? In other words, oh my God, I'm having a good time. One of the things I began to do is to talk about love. Say love.
Love.
And the reason I want to share this is I can't go into all of it, but you know, when we look at later life, how many know later life has a lot to do with earlier life? I'm going to say that again. How many know later life has a lot to do with early life? Note that I said later and early, so you can just put yourself wherever you are in there, amen? Because I'm with a lot of 21-year-olds, and they be like, yeah, I'm old, you know, I'm like, you right, honey, you right, amen? But the point here is that I began to reflect over, and I don't know how else to do this, and I understand it may be sensitive, but I began to look at my childhood years, and I've sometimes done this driving. I'm sometimes waiting on planes back at FedEx or whatever, and I was just thinking about this. I'm like so thankful. I'm so grateful for my childhood.
Yes.
I want to invite some other people that, listen, I could tell you both sides of bad stories, and I could tell you good stories. Are you with me?
Yes.
But I'm so thankful for my life, my childhood. What I mean by that is, you know what? One thing I am sure of is that I was loved.
Yes.
I said one thing was sure of. Now, I understand we have some people online, some people in the room that may have felt like, you know what, I've been through a lot. I didn't even know my parents. Or I get that, but I want to invite you in and want you to know that God has something greater for you right now. But as I talk about it, I want to invite you into how you parent. I want to invite you into your children. I want to invite you into your grandchildren. I want to invite you in, because here's the deal, is that I it's not like I had a lot. It's not like we had a lot. I love my childhood. Here's what I mean. Like, you know what? When I grew up, you know, my grandfather, he sat on the steps, and you know, he'd throw the ball at me, and And I throw the ball back at him, and of course he missed it, and then I had to run because he wasn't getting up, are you, man? And so I you know, it's kind of like playing catch with yourself, you know what I'm saying? But I enjoyed it because Granddaddy was playing catch with me.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
You know, you've heard me talk about my grandfather sometime, or my grandmother, you know, I spent a lot of time with them, you know, and at my here's something, a reflection I just had recently, is that in my grandfather's house, he would sit on a kind of a lazy boy or whatever, and I used to take a comb and just kind of scratch his scalp. And I would act like and pretend like I was cutting his hair. Are you with me? God enlightened me about 2 weeks ago, and I want to tell my cousins that, you know what? I was pretending like I was cutting my grandfather's hair, and I ended up cutting literally his son's hair, or my uncle. You see, what you pretend to do, you may end up doing. Did you hear what I said? I used to enjoy the years that my stepdad and my mother, they work all day, 10 hours, you know, all kinds of stuff. And no sooner than they could take off clothes, they were on their way to baseball practice and baseball games. You know what? Here's the best one, is that today, you know, I know we, you know, it's probably not proper, but I'm saying back then we would spend the night over people's houses or whatever, and we would get in a twin bed, two boys in a twin bed, and one would stick his feet that way, and the other one would stick his feet that way, so you'd be sleeping with your friend's feet. Are you with me? I didn't say a full-size bed. I said a twin-size bed after a baseball game. Are you with me? Amen. What I'm trying to get you to see, it didn't take much, but boy, I sure felt loved.
Amen.
I said, I sure felt what?
Love.
Because how many understand love is not based on what you have or don't have?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it over on this section. How many understand love is not based on, let me make it more plain. Like I come from, you didn't have a basketball hoop, so you cut out the bottom of
the milk carton.
Amen. And then you nail that up there. And I can guarantee you it wasn't 10 feet because we didn't know what that was. Amen? My point is that, but we would shoot all night with a little flat ball because I sure did love my childhood. I love my, are you with me? Why does that matter? Well, let me share with you why. It's because in later life, if you didn't like your childhood, you may not be liking your later life. Or what you might be struggling with, or what you might be torn with, is because you're still living out of something that was in your child life that you're struggling and stumbling over in your later life. And because you feel trapped, you don't necessarily understand why you're still responding in the same way you did back then when you have been born again and you're now living in something that you thought you were supposed to be free from. Come on, somebody. And so what I want to help you understand today is, can you help me out there, man of God? Is today I want to give you this particular title, and the title is Greater in You. Greater in You. Say that. Greater in You. You see the verse that's off to the right, it says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, I know some of us have read that hundreds of times, but how many understand we have sang and read things that we may not be living? So I want to help us because greater in you, little children, you are from God. You are from God. You are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I hope to briskly go through a few of these points. One is that you are a treasure. Read it with me. You are a We hope to go over greater in you because we need an encounter with Jesus and love today. We need to be greater in you because we want to tap on motivation. You'll see it even in Scripture. greater in you today because we want to perfect the agape love. We want to perfect agape love. We want to what? Perfect what? Agape what? Love. Please don't just like dwindle, oh, it's a message about love. Nope, not a little different today. And that is greater in you because of the Holy Spirit. Greater in you because we've got to deal with fear. Greater in you because we've got to deal with fear. We got to deal with what?
Fear.
And greater in you because what's God's love will do in you. Can I get you to go to the next one? Can I want us to read these next three slides? They are just this passage, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. And I really want you to read this. I want you to see this because it's his mindset moves us, and it is going to become our motivation. Ready, set, read. Look at how much encouragement you found in your relationship with the Anointed One. You are filled to overflowing with his comforting love. You have experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit, don't change it yet, and have felt his tender affection and mercy. Now, I want you to notice those four things that's underlined because you've got to be able to say that I'm living this or I'm experiencing this or I once remember God did this for me. He once did what? Look at the encouragement that you have found because of your relationship with the Anointed One. In other words, do you have a relationship with the Anointed One? Have you ever been encouraged? Just one time. Have you ever just been kind of encouraged? Encouraged, then what about number two? Are you filled to overflowing with a comforting love? Have you ever been encouraged by God? Have you ever been comforted by God? Then if you have, what about an experience, a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit? Do you have a friendship with the Holy Spirit? And number four, have you ever felt his tender affection and mercy? If you've ever done any of those things, then we can continue. Go ahead. Ready, set, read. So I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined together in perfect unity with one heart, one passion, and united in one love. Walk together with one harmonious purpose, and you will fill my heart with unbounded joy. Be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm you, cherished unity. Go ahead. Go. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in an authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interest. And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before you. Let his mindset become your motivation. Isn't that good? The Passion Translation says, let his mindset become your motivation. Can you see what's going on with that? Ask that, give that to him. Everybody turn their Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. Everybody say motivation. So the way we want to lead into this is this. That whole passage is exemplary. But notice how it ended. It says, now let his mind or mindset, let Jesus' mindset be your motivation. Let Jesus' mindset be your motivation. Be your what? Now, we're just reading scripture. You don't have to say that I'm doing anything funny or with scripture or you know, skewing the scriptures or doctrine or anything. In that translation, the Passion Translation, it just says, let his mindset be your motivation. So we're going to let Jesus' mindset. Now, wait. One of the things we did do is we took a look at the parable and we saw how Jesus, he did everything motivated by love in order to purchase the field where the treasure was. Somebody say amen. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 4. And we're going to break it down as we go along. It says, New King James, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You know what? If you had just read that for the first time, you would want to shout, amen? But let me help you do go with that a little bit. It says, in you is greater. Say it again. In you is greater. So therefore it means greater is he in me than he that is in the world. In other words, he in me equals God in me, which equals love in me. In other words, greater is he, God, Jesus, in me than he, the evil one, that is in the world or the spirit that's in others. And greater is he, so therefore greater is he that is in me. Therefore, he in me is God in me, and God in me, which is his love, and his love in me is greater. Whoa! His love is greater than any hate. Even though there might be haters, I've got a lover that's greater than haters.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. See there, you see, I caught you back there on the back. Amen. Look at this. And then the scripture says this. Let's go on. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world. And the world hears them. We are of God. He knows God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Are you with me?
Yep.
Look at the note here. It says love one another, because loving one another is of God. Loving one another is what? Of God. Therefore, everyone who loves is born of the Father. Some translation says that you are born of the Father, and because you are born of the Father, you now have the Father's nature in you. And because you've been born of the Father, you have the Father's nature, and you know this passage of Scripture says, God is love, therefore I have God's love, the Father, in me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So therefore, if he is the Father and he is the one who birthed me, again, I have the Father's nature in me. And he knows God because God is love. Look at that next one. Go to the next verse, verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. These next verses, and then I'll jump down to another couple of ones, are concentrated on Jesus. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Can I get you to jump down to verse 14? And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent. The Father has what?
Sent.
The Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Go back up to verse 9. That's what the note is on the screen. It says this. Notice this three times it says sent. This is very important for good note taking. When you want to define biblical love, the love of God is defined because he sent Jesus. The biblical standard of love is because he not only gave, but he sent. He what?
Sent.
Right here in this passage in chapter 4, it says it three times. God has sent. God has sent. God has sent. What does it say next? God has sent his Son in order to be the Savior, meaning to save the world. I want you to take note that it says world right there in that passage of Scripture. Why is that important? Because later on, when we start talking about our vision, we talk about the world. But we need to remember how it sets it up, that it already is going to talk about Jesus saving the world. So therefore, when it gets down to what we're like, then it gives us an indication of what we're going to be like because Jesus was doing it. Yes, Lord. I hear you. It says love three times. It says God has sent Son, Savior, to save the world, meaning to, it's all in the scripture, to live through him, to have the propitiation in verse number 10, meaning the atonement, meaning there is going to be a mercy for sins. There are mercy for what? God has mercy for my wrongdoing. God has mercy for when I've missed the mark. That means if God has mercy for me, that means God has mercy for people in the world. Let me say it a different way. That means when we come up and brush up with people at Walmart or driving down the street and they almost, you know, hit you, or somebody kind of comes by and they choose the wrong fingers to put up at you, or whatever might happen. How many understand that we don't have to be haters or dark? We get to be light, and we get to love them like God loves them and provide them with mercy. Did you just get that? Mark said, oh, man. You see, it was really good when we were talking about how God bought the treasure for us. But how many understand that same love now is in us? So all I'm asking for, all I'm taking a look at is love, because greater is in you. Greater is in what? Greater is in you, or greater is in me. So therefore, when we live through him for the propitiation, the atonement by mercy for sins, come to Jesus by believing and confessing. Come to Jesus by believing and what? How many understand that this can be done anywhere? How many understand that there might even be some here today? There might be some that's waiting on you to come and ask them because of something they're going through, and they need to understand, what does love look like? I want to go further by saying, this is what it says in verses 9 to 11. The light of God's love shined within us. Whoa, wait a minute. Help you what? The light of God's love shined within us when he sent his matchless son into the world so that we might live through him. This is love. He loved us long before we loved him. It was his love, not ours. He proved it by sending his son. Remember, love is done by sending love. Send his son to be the pleasing sacrificial offering to take away our sins. Delightfully loved ones, if he loved us with such tremendous love, then loving one another should be our way of life. Then loving each other should be our way of life. You see, his love, bold letters, perfected in us. His love perfected. Say perfected. Perfected. King James, New King James word, perfected, but it means to mature. Now, this is where I want to ask, especially a lot of us that are Bible teachers and a lot of us that are saints and have been able to teach this class and all these things. But I want you to kind of do a little test here. And that is, where is your love spectrum? Got quiet up in here. Amen. We're not talking about just your romantic love. I'm not talking about you and your boo. Amen? I'm trying to ask you, where is your love spectrum? Where are you measured at in love? Because in this particular passage of Scripture, it starts talking about, well, this is how we know love. And I want to start dealing with maybe, perhaps, things that we could be striving in or dealing with. And we've been using other tools to try to get rid of things, when perhaps what we have greater need of, this is the message, is that we have greater need of more love. The reason we have more love is because right now, even right now, it feels numb, like I've heard all this before. And rather than trying to say, well, wait a minute, the Passion Translation said that. Let me see what that says. In other words, we've got to dig in deep and say, wait a minute, God, instead of my shorter temper, God, may I have a longer love. Oh, I'm preaching better than you shout right now. Amen. Say perfected. There must be a greater depth of understanding God's perfect love for my life. And if there is a greater perfection of God's love in my life, that must mean I've got to tap into the one who is greater in me. Hallelujah. If I could learn how to tap into the one that's greater in me, let me get ready to try to act like I'm a close. Look, I want to share something, and that is, look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. It says, by this we know that we abide in him. That we what?
Abide.
Abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. He has given us of his what?
Spirit.
Really good teaching here. I want you to look, as we've said already several times, we read it out loud, that one of our core values is to be spirit-led. Is to be spirit what?
Led.
One of our core values is to be spirit what?
Led.
I want you to understand, There's three things on this screen that I want to talk about, and that one is given on resurrection, given on Pentecost, and given on his love. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you why. It's because we, the body of Christ, BCC, we're comprised of so many different types of believers, so many different types of backgrounds. Are you with me? Some of us come from Baptist backgrounds. Are you going to get amen with this?
Amen.
Come on. Some of us come from Southern Baptist. Some of us come from Pentecostal. Some of us come from Catholic backgrounds. Some of us come from Methodist. Some of us come from Church of God in Christ. Some of us come from evangelical, fundamental. Some of us come from community churches. Some of us come from home churches. And all of these different types of doctrines, all these different types of what? Somehow find them ways assembled in BCC. And sometimes that's why I can get some people, I know how to do this, right? I can get this section to say amen to this one, but I know they ain't not going to get with the other part. So I got to come over here and say this about that particular point. Are you with me? And this whole thing about being about the Holy Spirit is such a challenging one, because everybody's got a little something different they going on in their head. Are you with me? Can I teach this thing? I'm going to teach it anyway. In other words, look here. You see, we cleverly put in we are spirit led. Because we're really trying to communicate that the Holy Spirit is a major component prioritized in our lives. Are y'all with me? And the reason this is important is because I want to just kind of, this is really good teaching about this thought, and that is this whole concept of this concept of being baptized in the Holy Spirit or being Spirit-filled, I want to differentiate between Baptists, for instance. I'm not picking on Baptists. I'm saying, how many of you know Baptists would say, I received the Holy Spirit when I got baptized and got everything I need. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you don't have to get quiet. I know who you are already, man. How many understand you? Yep, I received the Holy Spirit, and that's what John chapter 3 says, and we receive. And how many understand if they sit next to a potential, like, let's say, someone that's Pentecostal or something like that, they, you know, Pentecostal would say, no, you didn't have everything yet. You know, you needed to do some other things, and you might have needed to tarry some. I know that's old doctrine, but, you know, you need to tarry and be out on the floor and be in there about 4 or 5 hours, and then maybe something might happen, you know. And how many understand that's they sitting next to each other might have a little issue. But I want to talk about this because I want you to know, oftentimes when you have large polarizations in doctrine, it oftentimes means that there may be an error in both. Are you with me? And so therefore, my hope is just to kind of somehow have an opportunity for all of us in here to receive and respond to, guess what? The Holy Spirit was given on both.
Yes.
You see, these both Sundays are major Sundays. Are you hearing me? You see, the Holy Spirit was given on both Sundays. It's not an either or. It's not this one or that one. It's both. Oh, look how we invited some people in. You see, given on the resurrection. Say given on the resurrection. I'm going to have to get you to do a little Bible study on your own. In John chapter 20, you remember this is when all of the disciples, they're in the room shut up because of what has happened, and Jesus, with the door still being shut, he comes into the room. Are you with me? And he says, peace be unto you. And they were still afraid. They didn't know what was going on. And so he, you know, made sure he identified himself. And then they were glad. And then he said again, peace be unto you. Are y'all with me? It's in this passage of scripture that you understand that Jesus then, like Father, like Son, just as the Father did to the first human, Jesus now does to them. And he, Bible says, and he breathed into them the breath of life. Or he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Y'all with me? Do you understand? That's the same thing that the Father did in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. He breathed into them because now Jesus was breathing life into them. And the word breath in the Greek, breath also means spirit. So when it literally says he breathed into them the Holy Spirit, it means he breathed into them the Spirit of God. So in other words, he breathed spirit and went into them. Now, here's something else very interesting about the text. The text also identifies that this was done also individually. In other words, the Greek helps us understand that Jesus is doing just as the Father did at the beginning. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive who?
The Holy Spirit.
That was done on the resurrection. You say, why? I'm going really fast. Why does that happen? Because they just saw him come in. And what does it mean to be saved? Is to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So now they're like, huh, it is him. They now have set their affection on believing that they know he died, they know he was buried, and he rose again. And right then and there, right there on that Sunday, because of what Jesus fulfilled and accomplished, they receive the Holy Spirit to become born again, and now they are alive. Come on, give the Lord a big praise offering in Jesus' name, right? How many understand that's the same thing all of us do when we accept Jesus? I want to invite you and bait you into this one. But in this, brother need glasses up in this mug, amen?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that one. They go from Old Testament believing into New Testament believing because they now are forgiven and saved. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
In Luke chapter 24, this is where now, you know, you've already had the road to Emmaus, and now we've got them already coming, Jesus coming to them, and he's now in red letter editioning, telling them, watch this, I want you to remain in Jerusalem until you receive power that will be endued from on high. All I want you to understand is got to go faster, is that look what the note says, both are right, but this was a subsequent event. In other words, this was a second event, which happens, 40, going to be 50 days later, but he's telling them this before he ascends into heaven. He's telling them, in other words, he's already had John chapter 20. He's already breathed them life into them. Now he's saying to them, no, wait, I know y'all saved. I know y'all see me. I know y'all believe in me. I understand that. I've uprooted your unbelief. You see that I'm the Christ. I've showed you my hands, Thomas, everybody. Y'all know I'm here, but I'm about to leave. But don't you go anywhere until you receive what the promise is of the Father. Why would Jesus say that to them and not say that to you? I'm going to say that again. I'll step back one more time. I'm trying to catch some evangelicals. Why would Jesus say that to them who were disciples? Who are what?
Disciples.
And he's not saying that to us. Because we're disciples. And why would Jesus want to give something to them that he want to withhold from you? Can I really wrap this thing up? What I'm saying to you is you have more capacity to love, especially if you still got more to experience in God's Holy Spirit. In other words, things that you feel like you don't have power enough for and you're trying to get more power, you're trying to get more money. It's not more money. It's more power. How many understand you can't say no to that? The reason you can't say no to that is not based on discipline. It's not based on keto. How many understand it's based on power? It's based on what?
Power.
And you receive power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, here's the analogy. When you say baptism, say baptism.
Baptism.
Baptism by Greek means baptismo, which means immersion. Which means what?
Immersion.
Which means what?
Immersion.
By all standards, all Greek, it says immersion. By what?
Immersion.
I like to talk to you about two different types of immersions, right? When we say we believe in Jesus Christ and we shall be saved and you want to be baptized, baptized by water, you're going to be baptized, which means baptismo, which means immersion. Are you with me? How many understand that means go up in here, go up in the pool, go up in the lake when it doesn't have a color or whatever? How many understand you go in there and you go down under because that's immersion. That's what?
Immersion.
Can I share something with you though? But Jesus says, I want you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, which means immersion. Which means what?
Immersion.
Y'all getting quiet on me. It means what?
Immersion.
Can I share with you what that is? That's when you go and stand up under Niagara Falls. They got three amens. How many understand when you step inside of Niagara Falls, you are immersed? Amen. And that's what it's like to receive the Holy Spirit in your life, is to step into Niagara Falls and no pain and no suffering, but nothing but the goodness of God and nothing but the love of God and love like you've never felt before. Love like, see, I didn't tell you the stuff in the childhood that not permissible. I only told you the stuff that I'm glad about my life when I loved my life. I'm not telling you about the children and the teachers that I've been a part of. I told you, but there in the Niagara Falls and under the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where he's coming upon me, I just experience his love being flowing over me and flowing down in me and all around me. And I feel like I'm a treasure again. I feel like God paid a price for me. I feel like I can be healed. I've got new hopes again. And those old things, true do, even the things I couldn't get rid of, they start washing away because of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's more love for you to experience. There's more love that you can get deeper inside in. Pastor, do you know Pastor Jeremy preaches for 22 minutes and 15 seconds and you preach for 2 hours. Yes, I know. I'm working on it, amen. Because Romans chapter 5 says that it's the love of God that's poured into our hearts by the Spirit. By the what?
Spirit.
I don't think I'll get to preach the rest of this message, so let me tell you this important point, 2 points. Our vision and values are all motivated by love.
Yes.
Can you say that with me? Our vision and values are all motivated by love. One more time. Our vision and values are all motivated by love. You quiet down, I'm gonna say it again. I want you to get this to sink in. Like, this is the message. All of our vision and values, all, are motivated. We are moved by the love of God. You see, the reason that's so important is because when it starts getting confused about what we're doing up here or what we're pastoring or how we're baptizing or somebody's over here praying in other tongues, another one's being quiet, another one person might be praying up here, another person might be asking Jesus to forgive them. No matter what's going on around here, I don't care if it's a small group, I don't care if it's rehearsal on the music, on the drums, it doesn't matter what Growing in Maturity is doing, BRICS, YoBCC, camps, collecting of tithes and offering, all of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, last verse says, I'm gonna show you a more excellent way. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, you know what? Even if I speak with tongues of angels and I have not love, I'm just a brass noise. And the reason I want to make sure you know all of this is because it's not about being supernatural in services and streets. It's about loving and allowing the love of God to flow through you, and God will move supernaturally.
Yeah.
It's not even about the doctrine. Let me try what I'm trying to get to invite you into. Not to let go of your beliefs, because I believe this with all my heart. You'll hear me say this. You know what? If you come to BCC and you are a Baptist, go ahead, stay a Baptist. Great, no problem. Because when we're done, you're just going to become a better Baptist. Sincerely. If you go here and you're a Methodist, you're a Spirit-filled, you're Catholic, doesn't matter. Praise God. I can guarantee you, you're going to be a better Methodist. Because we're just going to try to stay with what Jesus is. We want to encounter Jesus. Here's the doctrinal point. People do not get saved because of doctrine.
Amen.
People get saved because they meet a person. Not you, because they meet Jesus. Because when you encountered Jesus, can I tell you what happened in the upper room? The reason they got saved, I didn't get to preach that part, is that they met Jesus. You see, they were hiding in the room, but it wasn't until they met Jesus. It's meeting Jesus that they got saved. It wasn't all of his teachings that they remember. It's when Jesus stepped in the room, the person, the resurrected one, when he stepped in the room, that's when they believed. It was when they met the person. It's the same way today. It's not based on your doctrine. It's not based on your heady knowledge. It's not based on how literate you are in the Bible. It's based on if they meet Jesus. When people encounter, you see, you can join a church and remain the same. But when you meet Jesus, you actually begin to change and transform. You got that right, sister. Stand to your feet. Would you play a little bit, Zeke? The only way that our vision and values work is when it's motivated by what? The only way any of the visions or any of the voices, no matter what they speak about, they can speak about being a child of God. They can speak about ridding sexism in the world and in the kingdom and in the church. They can come up and they can speak about everyone heals. They can come up and speak about, you know, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's only being moved and motivated by one thing, and that is God's what?
Love.
God's what?
Love.
I want to challenge many of us in this room. Verse 18 says that perfect love casts out all fear. Because where there is fear, there is torment. And I wish I could really preach this thing. Listen, I know there are people in the room. I know there are people online. You can call it whatever the name you want to. You can call it post-traumatic. You can call it anxiety. You can call it rejection sensitivity. You can call it names that are really clinical and medically found. But sometimes and oftentimes those things are rooted in fear. You see, if you ever, so silly, if you ever see any of my pictures, if you see any of them, any, you'll never see me smile. Have you ever noticed I never smile? I never. That's right. I don't show my teeth. And the reason is because when I grew up, people made fun of my gap between my teeth. I tell you a silly little thing about me because I want you to think about a silly little thing about you. What don't you do? What do you run away from? What are you afraid of? 365 times, scholars say, the Bible tells us to fear not or not to be afraid. Some good teachers say it's one time a day. What are you afraid of? What are you fearing? Perfect love, mature love, cast out fear. The importance of this is this. Why does the author and the apostle say all of these things? You all know the end. Because John, he calls himself the one who Jesus loved. You see, he cast out secure insecurity. Some scholars say this, is that he did so because it wasn't like he was trying to make himself known. It's actually a very humbling state. But how many understand, when you've got that much assurance, you don't have to worry about your identity. When you know you're the one that Jesus loves, you don't have to be in power struggles. How many know when you're the one you know Jesus loves, you don't have to be down because you know God's going to pull you out. You see, he might be in the boat while Peter's walking on water. He says, sorry, I know Jesus is coming to the boat. I mean, you know, because when you have an understanding that Jesus is the one who loves you, you cast out fear, you live without insecurity, and you live without fear. Father, I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. I thank you for the love of God that has been shed and poured out like Niagara Falls on those who want to receive your Holy Spirit. For God, I ask that we would all deepen and grow in our reception of your love. Lord, this is not just a small grade school, Sunday school lesson. This is for those that have been saints for multiple years, that they might finally conquer that mountain of fear. Rastis to Moshe. In Psalms 23, you say, lead us by the still waters. I pray, God, as your still waters are flowing through the room right now, I know it's a river of life. Your Holy Spirit is now running through this place. I pray you run through the hearts and lives. Go through the videos, God. Go through the live stream. Go to those that's in this room. And would you heal? Would you go after mental anxiety and stress and strain? Rivers of living water, would you flow in and out and touch the hearts that are gravely afraid? In Jesus' name, amen,
amen,
amen, and amen. Would you give the Lord a big praise offering? Come on, would you do that? Praise the Lord. God bless you. We're dismissed.